I've got the wonderful pianist Simona Dinnerstein here with me, who has been so kind as to come on the air a few times in the past and talk about her recordings. Now she has a new recording out with the composer Richard Danielpour. It's called An American Mosaic. First of all, Simona, let me welcome you to FM 91.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for talking with us. The last time that we spoke, you had just released your album, A Character of Quiet, music of Franz Schubert and Philip Glass. That's something you recorded at home on your piano, and it was sort of born of the pandemic experience. And so here we are a year into the pandemic, and you've done another recording that speaks to everything that's been going on, An American Mosaic, music of Richard Danielpour. Can you give us just a sort of an overview of what the album entails?
Yes. So I think that when we last spoke, I talked about how in the spring last year, I felt very strangely disconnected from music, and that the pandemic had really the lockdown in New York had not at all inspired me to work, but had, you know, taken away all of my focus and, you know, made me very anxious. At the same time, during that period of time, I received a call last spring from the composer Richard Danielpour, who, of course, I had heard of his music and I'd heard some of his music, but I did not know him. And he called me to tell me that he had been experiencing a lot of anxiety because he has asthma, and it was very dangerous for him to go outside, and he was very discombobulated, and that he had discovered my Bach recordings and that they had been enormously comforting to him and were helping him to get through all of the anxiety. So he called to thank me for these recordings that I'd made, which I just thought was the most lovely and touching thing.
Wow.
To receive this phone call, you know. And then he went on to tell me that he had been thinking about writing a major piano work, which would be a suite of 15 pieces where each piece would be commemorating one part of the population that was affected by the pandemic in American society. And he asked me whether I would be interested in being the pianist for whom he would write that. And I was very excited about the idea. And so that's how this whole thing was born.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful, first of all, that, you know, you had that connection with him and knowing that your Bach recording provided at least some comfort. But this entire piece, as you mentioned, there are 15 of them. They're very short, but they add up to around 50 minutes or so of music, addresses so many different concerns and cares and things that have been going on during the pandemic. And there are some of the usual suspects on here, people like parents, children, caretakers, doctors, interns. But there are also some unusual subjects on here as well. I see prophets and martyrs and things of that ilk. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how he put these together, how they were selected. Did you guys talk about the structure of the piece, or did he just present it to you?
He really had a very specific idea of how he wanted the architecture of the piece to work. And in fact, I was very surprised to, you know, I've worked with composers before, and I don't think I've ever had the experience of a composer who, before even setting pencil to paper, just knew exactly how he wanted the whole structure to be.
Yeah.
I made some very minor suggestions. Like, for instance, he has interspersed throughout the 15 movements, there are consolations, which he viewed as being these movements that were almost like angels consoling the population. And he, you know, those are the movements 1, 5, 10, and 15. And he wanted them to follow a particular kind of contrapuntal structure. And so I made a suggestion about it, the final one being a chorale, which he took up. But I think that other than that, I really stayed out of that whole planning process.
Yeah.
I would say that what's interesting is that he, Richard is a very socially conscious person, and that permeates all of his composing as well. And he's done many different pieces of music where he's collaborated with writers, and he does a lot of music for voice and opera, and so he's. I think he wanted to bring not only an awareness of the virus and the I'm so sorry, that's Daisy the dog. not just about people that were being affected by the pandemic in terms of the virus, but he was also reacting to the political situation that we were experiencing and all of the Black Lives Matter movement. So Prophets and Martyrs is a movement which is a tribute to Black lives lost during the pandemic.
And you mentioned the political side of it. I mean, you also have the invisible enemy, which is the virus itself, and the visible enemy representing sort of the Trump administration and the
yes.
last few years, and especially the last few months when they were involved in the virus situation.
Yes.
It's a wide-ranging piece, and the way that you describe some of it, it makes me think of it almost as a theater piece, and you think of Richard's experience writing for The Voice. I wonder if this is something that could even be staged or even be represented through film or some other medium as well. Has that occurred to you or to him?
That's a really interesting idea. I hadn't thought of that, but I think it's the kind of music that would lend itself to a visual element for sure.
Yeah.
And in fact, when we were thinking about the cover of the CD of the album, I was trying to think about, I mean, we had different ideas about how to represent it visually. And in the end, I had an idea of using a painting that my uncle Harvey Dinnerstein had done. Harvey is a very eminent realistic painter.
Right.
He's about to turn 93 years old. And
wow.
And he similarly has a very socially conscious bent to his work. And so I thought of a painting that he did of people on a New York City subway car. You're looking through the platform, through the open doors at this crowded car, and it has every different type of person looking out and looking at each other. And on the side is my Uncle Harvey with his sketchbook standing in the train sketching them. And I thought that that was a really great image that could represent this whole piece, because it really is showing just the many different parts of our society. And I thought that Harvey standing there was kind of a substitute for Richard looking at society and composing a piece of music about it.
Well, that image you talk about, that mosaic, as it were, almost has sort of a visual religious feel to it, in the same way that this whole piece does. And it feels a little bit like that. I think that's what led me to think of it as possibly a staged work, because there's so much variety in the music. You know, you hear about a piece that is written in response to the pandemic, and you think, oh, it's going to be very dramatic, it's going to be very sad, it's going to be very elegiac. However, there's some very lighthearted and enjoyable music that works its way throughout this piece.
Yeah, there's a wonderful movement called Parents and Children, which really is very playful, and you kind of have the sense of these frenetic homes where where parents are being overrun by the children that are staying at home. I think it's a piece of music that is really full of hope, and you really put your finger on something with the religious or spiritual nature of it, you know, the allusion to the mosaic, which you would see, you know, usually in a church. I think that Bach played a huge role in his idea for this. He was very inspired by Bach's music, and so that the counterpoint that's running through it is really a tribute to Bach, I would say. And in fact, we were thinking about the performance of this piece and what else I would perform in a program with it. And I thought it would be really interesting if he could transcribe a few Bach works for me to play alongside this piece. And so he chose three movements from the St. Matthew Passion and the B minor Mass and transcribed them for piano, and they are also on the CD, and they're quite magnificent. So I think that it's nice to have that thread between Bach and the present day.
Now, this was premiered through the Oregon Bach Festival, and you did it virtually? Is that how it was presented?
Yes, the Oregon Bach Festival commissioned the whole project, and they just were incredibly supportive of it. And we decided, all of this came together last June, and so we decided that we would have a virtual premiere in December. And this recording that is on the CD is the audio part of the visual, the virtual concert. So the concert was filmed in my home. Again, just like A Character of Quiet, we wound up having to stay in my house. But this time, Adam Abe's house, my producer, also had cameras. And so he filmed it, and then it was premiered that way.
Yeah, it's interesting how that came to be. And I think of Richard Daniapour, who is kind of not really into the whole technological thing. You know, he writes with pencil on paper and that sort of thing. And I'm just wondering, you guys were separated by, you know, you were on opposite coasts from each other. What was the communication like between you while you were getting ready for this premiere? Did you talk regularly?
Especially during the summer when I was learning the music, he would send me movements as they were ready, and so I would talk to him. I was getting to know his language, which is part of the process of playing music by a composer that you've never played before, is that, you know, every composer has their own really sort of distinct type of language, and it takes a little while to feel it, you know, and make it natural. And I did feel an immediate connection to his music, which has a great sense of narrative in it, which is something that I really relate to. But harmonically, I had to get used to his language, and What was interesting was that at a certain point, I started being able to spot typos. And that's always a good sign when you realize that a note in a chord is not what he meant. So I would write to him and say, did you mean that note? And then he'd be like, oh, no, that's not the note that I meant. And, so that was good.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful recording, and I'm so glad you were able to talk with us about it today. Let me just ask before I let you go. I mean, last time we talked, of course, we were in the midst of the pandemic, and we're still in the pandemic. I mean, people are getting vaccinated, but there's still, we're still not seeing a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. How are you doing? How have you been doing with COVID-19, I mean, as far as like how it's affected you as an artist?
It's interesting. I just was reading an article in the New York Times where they did a whole article interviewing all different types of artists today, I believe, with exactly that question and, you know, more specifically how they reacted in different ways. And I was really struck by the fact that most of these artists who were, you know, of all different genres and visual artists, playwrights, filmmakers, musicians, composers, many of them were tremendously creative during this period. I really have not felt incredibly creative. I mean, I feel very proud that I was able to make these two recordings over this period of time. In that sense, I was very creative. But I have to say I have struggled with practicing and just feeling a sense of direction. Mm. On the other hand, I think that I have really connected with my family and with my home, which I'm usually away from home at least half of each month. And being at home nonstop for a year definitely makes my home feel much more my own. And now I feel reluctant to leave it. So
you can just become an editor and stay at home and work on
other people's
exactly.
Music. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I might just be a virtual person.
Well, I can't help but think that experience is going to influence your future artistic offerings as well, and we look forward to all of that.
I hope so.
Pianist Simona Dinnerstein has a new album, An American Mosaic, by composer Richard Danielpour. From Supertrain Records, it's out now. We'll share that on our website as well. And Simona, thanks for coming on and talking with us about this beautiful music here on FM 91.
Thanks, Brad. It's always great to talk with you.